The Ukraine-Russia conflict is producing developments this week that speak to a profound shift in how this war is being fought. Ukrainian drones have now struck 8 of Russia's 10 largest oil refineries. Let's sit with that number for a moment. Russia's oil export revenue is the primary financial engine sustaining its military operations. Refineries are not frontline military targets. They're deep infrastructure assets that take months or years to repair or replace. Hitting 8 of the 10 largest means Ukraine has systematically mapped and degraded the core of Russia's war funding machinery.
The strategic logic is straightforward, but the execution is extraordinary. Ukraine is a country that, in February 2022, was defending Kyiv from Russian armor columns. By mid-2026, it's running sustained deep strike campaigns against industrial facilities hundreds of kilometers inside Russian territory. The drone technology involved, the navigation, the loitering, the ability to defeat Russian air defenses at scale, represents one of the fastest battlefield technology evolutions in modern military history.
Russia's response on the Baltic Sea is revealing in a different way. Surveillance photographs obtained by OCCRP show heavy machine guns mounted on a Gazprom LNG tanker, specifically one that supplies the Russian exclave of Kaliningrad. Now, Kaliningrad is a strategically sensitive piece of territory. It's surrounded by NATO members, Poland and Lithuania, and it hosts Russian Baltic Fleet assets. If Russia is militarizing the vessels supplying it, that suggests Moscow is worried about supply interdiction, whether from sanctions enforcement, NATO surveillance, or the shadow fleet exposure that has been building since 2022.
The legal implications here are also serious. Mounting weapons on civilian commercial vessels blurs the distinction between merchant and military ships under international maritime law. It potentially exposes those vessels to different treatment under rules of engagement. And it raises questions for the countries whose ports these ships might call on. If a vessel identified as a civilian tanker is also carrying deck-mounted machine guns, at what point does it lose its civilian status protections?
The NATO contest seeking weapons capable of hitting Russian airfields drew a sharp Russian condemnation this week. Russia called it provocative escalation. But from NATO's perspective, the contest is explicitly about developing deterrence capabilities, the ability to threaten Russian military infrastructure if Russia conducts strikes on NATO territory. The fact that Russia is loudly objecting suggests the concept is landing with some strategic weight.
And then there's the domestic Russian dimension. Alexander Lunin, a Russian veteran who went viral after posting a video warning Vladimir Putin of an imminent military mutiny over soldier abuse, has been convicted of displaying extremist symbols. The sentence sends an unambiguous message to anyone inside Russia's military contemplating public dissent. But the fact that these videos keep appearing, that veterans keep going on record with grievances, tells you something about the stress fractures inside Russia's fighting force that no official narrative can fully contain.
The Prigozhin mutiny was supposed to be the last such challenge. It wasn't. These smaller acts of defiance are lower in scale, but arguably harder to suppress completely precisely because they're decentralized.